Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I guess we now know how much it costs to sell your soul. How much a soul is worth after watching Rudy Giuliani wipe snot all over his face. And Sidney Powell talk about some rambling gibberish about algorithms. And again, this is supposed to confuse us. We're supposed to think, ooh, scary, and then believe the nonsense. And as I said, I hate defending the current system because I do believe there are tons of problems. And here to share some thoughts on what we're experiencing right now and maybe a little bit about where we should be going, I've asked Jennifer Cohen to come talk with us. She's an election security advocate, writer, and attorney. She's the person behind the hashtag hand-marked paper ballots, which I am a huge, huge fan. Jennifer, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. It's my pleasure to be here.
So let's start with the spooky stuff first. Algorithms. It's the broken algorithms. It's Joe Biden was in the basement. He learned coding during the COVID, and now we've got broken algorithms.
Well, what the Trump people like to do is take real vulnerabilities and then mix them with a bunch of half-truths and lies and, you know, twist things to their own benefit, weaponize them. It's propaganda. It's actually a pretty common propaganda technique. You take real facts, but then you take them out of context and you mix them together with all this other stuff so that it misleads people. And that is what they are doing. So I have been sounding the alarm about both Dominion and ESNS, and maybe to a lesser extent, Hart and Sequoia, but all of them really, all the private voting machine vendors, for several years. And one thing that I think is very telling is that is not getting enough coverage is that the Democrats had a really good election security bill called the SAFE Act that would have required robust manual audits to confirm electronic outcomes this year. It would have started this year for federal elections. And not a single Republican supported it. And Ron Wyden was out there. He was talking about the dangers of remote access to the systems and internet connectivity. Clearly, the Republicans thought that these vulnerabilities would benefit them. This was in the context of Russia attacking our elections to help Donald Trump. They purposely decided to leave electronic outcomes opaque, by which I mean unverified. They did that on purpose. And so now they are weaponizing a real problem, which is that we have truly unverified electronic outcomes, but they're weaponizing the situation that they themselves created. And one of my followers even came up with a pretty good analogy where someone, maybe I read this one actually, it's the doctrine of unclean hands, where someone goes to court and says, please have leniency on me, I'm an orphan, but leaves out the fact that you killed both of your parents, that's why you're an orphan.
Right.
So it's the same kind of thing. And I think it's also really telling that Trump and Republicans did significantly better than everybody expected. So usually when you talk about suspicious or concerning election outcomes, it's a situation where you significantly, where you underperform. So, you know, if anything, I think that the Democrats would have cause for concern based on the polling anyway. So it's not dispositive, it's not proof of fraud, but that's sort of one of those things that I look at as one of many factors to consider,
right,
is the polls. But Trump overperformed the polls. So is he deflecting from something, or, you know, what is going on here? The Republicans overperformed the polls in pretty much every toss-up. I think every 27, I might be getting this wrong, was 14 or 27 toss-up House races. They won all of them, or all but one. And I think it was all but one. And that's actually concerning the other direction from what everyone's talking about now because of their propaganda storm. It all started with their concern about Dominion, all started with something that happened in Antrim, Michigan, which involved a real problem. It was when you use electronics, they're complicated and that can cause mistakes, frankly, and it can also leave openings for fraud. But in this particular case, there actually was a Republican clerk in Antrim County, Michigan, and she has confirmed this series of events. She's volunteered them and taken responsibility. She says that what happened was she was supposed to update one of 16 precincts in Antrim County because they had left off a local race. She did the update. She should have updated all of them because in doing the update on the one, it changed the format of the entire ballot. But she didn't update the other 15 precincts. And so as a result, when they put them all together on the county tabulator, they allocated votes differently. And that was the problem. That was why. And what happened was some concerned Trump supporters noticed that the vote total and reporters noticed that the vote totals on their face looked implausible because Biden did so much better than one would expect. And so the Republican clerk looked, compared the precinct totals to the reported totals, saw they didn't match, did the further investigation, and then realized what the problem was. It was this failure to update. So it was explained, and you'll notice they don't even cite that anymore. That was the only real thing that they were hanging their hat on, was this votes being misallocated to Biden in Antrim, Michigan. And I mean, this sort of thing does happen, but typically you don't usually have this detailed of an explanation. And if anything, they're kind of lucky because their concern about an implausible result was taken seriously and somebody actually looked at the precinct totals and compared it and corrected it. It typically, when there are many things that look implausible about this last election in Florida, for example, where there was this huge get out the vote effort by Democrats and supposedly all the new voters went to Trump. But no one is volunteering to look at poll tapes there for us. So.
No, you're absolutely right. And this is one of those moments where you go, you know, thou doth protest too much because, yeah. You know, and it's one of those things that one of Trump's tics is when he's in the middle of something, he's going to spew it out and he's going to accuse others of it. So generally, whenever he's accusing somebody of something, he's the one doing it. So it makes perfect sense what you're saying, that maybe we should be looking at this from the other directive, which is, you know, how many votes did they steal? Because they won some Senate seats that I'm going, you know, if Democrats really figured this out, if Joe Biden did figure out coding while he was in pandemic mode, why didn't he get himself a Senate?
No, Joe Biden would have had... For one thing, even if cheating occurs, the chances that the candidates, know about it or directing it would be really unlikely.
I know. I'm just throwing that out there.
I know you're joking, but it ends up being a straw man. That's not what they're saying. They're not really saying Biden. But in any event, no, what they're saying is unreasonable. The other reason why you can tell that they're not arguing this in good faith, and they're not. They're not making these points in good faith. And one thing that is such a tell is that they are only talking about Dominion voting. Like the Antrim thing is off the table. So now all they're talking about is vulnerabilities.
Right.
That's fair to talk about vulnerabilities. They then take it further and say that that's proof of fraud, which it is not. But they are leaving off America's largest vendor, which is ES&S, which has a lot of ties to the GOP. And, you know, it made black votes disappear from Georgia and Tennessee. And it was caught, you know, misleading everybody. It had told everyone it didn't have remote access software in its systems. And then it had to fess up that it did, and it's donated $30,000 to the Republican Legislative Council since, you know, which houses the Republican Secretaries of State who choose systems. But they're cherry picking and they are leaving that out. And that shows no one who is legitimately concerned on either side of the aisle about election integrity does that.
Right.
You have concerns across the board. There are concerns across the board. You do not just pick one vendor. And I'm very concerned what they're trying to do. ES&S had an almost complete monopoly on the market up until 2010. They accounted for 70% of US election equipment, and the DOJ had to intervene and force them to sell some of the intellectual property and other assets of a subsidiary, Diebold Election Systems, and that's when Dominion entered the market. And they're trying to put Dominion out of business, who I'm no fan of any of these vendors, but it's even worse if you have just one.
No, right? I'm right there with you. And
they want to have ES&S dominate the market again.
Exactly. I'm right there with you. But here's where my view is. I've got a hammer in my garage. In fact, I got a couple of them. We should be smashing these machines and moving towards a system where we voted like I was able to vote here in Pennsylvania. I requested an early ballot. They sent it to me. I filled it out. I put it in a secret envelope. I signed it. I put it in a little travel envelope. I took it to the election office. I dropped it off. They sent me an email and said, hey, we've got your ballot. Hey, thanks for doing this. And they counted it. And if they need to recount it, it's there. For me, you're spot on. We need to go back to hand-marked paper ballots and chuck these machines, be done with them, because there's nothing good that comes of it in my view.
No, I mean, so right before the election, I wrote an article, and I really wanted the theme to be more about transparency than it ended up being. But there were some really good quotes that didn't make it into the final cut, but had to do with the whole point of the goal of a democracy is to have a peaceful transition of power. But if you have a system, you need to have a system where both the winners and the losers can believe the result, have a reason, are comfortable and believe the results. And that requires election transparency, and machines are opaque. They just are. And the more you add on, the more opaque they can be. And, you know, I am not going to defend the system. I just won't. But I also am not going to join with Trump by any means, because they are not arguing these points in good faith. They are cherry picking and weaponizing by taking them out of context and leaving off any concerns with the vendor that apparently they like, ES&S. And they killed the legislation that could have actually had it done something meaningful to make this election more transparent. And it would have prevented them from creating this chaos. They planned this before the election. If he lost, they were going to say it was rigged. I think they had to figure out specifically which aspects they were going to say were rigged, but they planned, I heard an interview last night that they planned this before the election.
Well, I would argue, Jennifer, that they planned this in 2015. Because if you go back to 2016, the election then, they were fully prepared to argue. In fact, he was running around the country doing his events, saying that they're stealing it from us. This was all part of that back then. And then shock of shock, he wins. And then they just put this on the shelf for when inevitably he was going to lose this time.
And honestly, the thing, the lack of sort of discussion about past presidential elections and the kind of misconduct that the GOP has engaged in past elections has sort of enabled this to an extent. I mean, bad actors are going to be bad actors regardless, but there are certain things that make it easier for them. I mean, so for example, not enough people probably know about the Brooks Brothers riot in 2000, where they was a fake, I guess that's called AstroTurf riot that was started and orchestrated, I guess, by Roger Stone to stop a recount.
Right. And we've got three people on the Supreme Court who were involved in that.
Right. In an election where the gap had closed to 537 votes in Florida, they stopped the recount. I mean, it's insane. And in that election, you know, you had a bogus voter purge of thousands of voters by a Republican Secretary of State in Florida. And you had machines with votes disappearing, 16,000 votes in Florida from a voting machine. You had a whistleblower saying that Tom Feeney, a representative Tom Feeney from Volusia County, who was Jeb Bush's running mate, he testified to Congress that he was asked to develop a vote flipping program. So you had a lot more red flags there, and they stopped the recount. So, you know, they have derailed and blocked transparency after, you know, poll defying and otherwise anomalous and suspicious presidential elections that they have supposedly won. And now they want to have their cake and eat it too. And they blocked transparency. They are weaponizing a lack of transparency they created and insisted on for this election.
So how do
and
you see?
It's outrageous. It makes me, it makes my blood boil.
No, I'm with you. I'm as angry as you are. And you, we had said, you know, off air a moment ago that, you know, that people are depressed over what's going on. I'm like, no, I'm not depressed. I'm angry. I'm angry that they've put us in this position and that they deliberately did this, knowing that this was going to be their ace in the hole, and knowing that their followers would fall right into line. The good thing is that those of us who aren't their followers aren't taking it. This to me is Joe Biden won by almost 6 million votes. This guy's going to be our next president come hell or high water.
The thing is, I guess when I was saying I was depressed, I wasn't really speaking for other people, but immediately after the results, I was just depressed even about the Senate races, because I wasn't, and I'm not convinced that those were legitimately won by the Republicans, and maybe they were, they very well could have been, but what I was depressed because I have no way of verifying that. And, you know, you need election records. You really can't get them. The election officials and vendors have exclusive access to the evidence. And then everyone's just talking about Trump claim, you know, and then what you have is the Democrats are kind of simpletons. I hate to say it, but they can be. And they, instead of saying, you know, look, it's tricky, but they want, instead they're doing the knee jerk, oh, our system was totally secure like they did in 2016 when it wasn't. And we may have been cheated.
Right.
We may have been cheated. So it's actually sending us the wrong direction, which had me feeling just really kind of exhausted and a little bit depressed, because, you know, and it's, I actually, my group, protectourvotes.com, we had people go out and do photographs of precinct totals. Ironically, that's to compare to reported totals, which is the exact type of analysis. They didn't use ours, but Thank God. But it is what you do. You want to make sure precinct totals and reported totals match. And if they don't, then something's wrong. And you have to figure out, was it an error or is it fraud or what is it? And so we're trying to do that. But it's a monumental task. We have something like 6,000 photos, and our website has been DDoS attacked multiple times. We have a lot of really great volunteers, but it's a monumental task. And I don't know if we had people in the places where you would strategically place them to discover fraud, if any fraud occurred.
Right.
So we're, in a way, needle in a haystack. It's just depressing.
So what do you say to the guy that Trump fired, the cybersecurity guy, Chris Krebs, who said this is the most secure election that we've ever had in this country? Because look, we've had stuff go on in elections.
It's a low bar. It's a very, very low bar. And I think he's full of shit, frankly. I mean, I think he's better than the vast majority of Republicans who fall in line behind Trump and say that there are indicators of fraud, because I also don't think there's that. But that's overstating it. We still didn't conduct in the vast majority of places meaningful manual audits. Only two, this was in my article before the election, only two states have laws requiring them, and that's Colorado and Rhode Island, and they only do a few races. So for the most part, all of our elections, even when we have hand-marked paper ballots, they don't let you look at them. So they're not really doing any good. Maybe preventive, you know, people are worried that somebody could get a court order, but for the most part, we have unverified election outcomes, and I don't think it's never okay to lie. And I think I don't want to say he was lying. I think his statement was a little overly rosy, but I'm grateful that he didn't fall in line with Trump and jump on the bandwagon of falsely claiming fraud. But that doesn't make someone a hero, because that's what you should do. You shouldn't make baseless claims of fraud. Anybody who does that is, I don't know what they are, but you shouldn't do that. So right. I hesitate to say that someone's a hero just because they didn't.
No, I didn't say he was a hero. I just said, he came out with a statement that, as you pointed out, and I've said as well, the bar is very low. Considering all the things that have gone on in the past, and we could spend hours talking about all of the roadblocks that Republicans have put into place for people voting over the years, and be spot on. So last question I've got here real quick, do you see any validity in what's being thrown at us from the Giulianis and from the Trump camp? Anything?
The vulnerabilities are real, but they're across the board. It's not just Dominion, and they purposely did not address them before the election. The Democrats really tried. Yeah. Ron Wyden would have done a lot.
There you go. Help. Jennifer, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Talk soon.
Good stuff. Jennifer Cohen, election security advocate and writer, also an attorney, and one of the people I defer to. And look, at the end of it, we are where we are. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Pennsylvania State Senator Jay Costa is going to be here to share some thoughts on what